And now it's time to introduce our study for today. As Chris is absent, we'll be hearing a study from Robert Daniels. And the title of his study is Take Comfort in God's Word.
Okay, let's open with a word of prayer, please. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for this day you have given to us. Oh, Lord, what a joy and a blessing it is that together, oh, Lord, we could look into thy word. Oh, Lord, what will we know without thy word? What will we understand? We would know nothing. And the little that we do know is only by thy mercy and thy grace that you have opened the eyes of thy people to thy word. And, oh, Lord, we pray that you will have us to listen to thy word. We ask to lead us into all truth. We ask that blessing upon each and every one of us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. What I'd like to speak about a little bit is that God's people should take comfort in God's word. Many people today, God's people, may feel discouraged. They may feel cast down in their soul, and we shouldn't feel that way, because God's word is true, and we wait upon God for him to open our eyes to truth, and we shouldn't be discouraged in any way. God has not abandoned us. He can't abandon his people whom he foreknew. God is with us, and we should never lose sight of that. You know, God's people are always waiting upon him. If you read through the Bible, you see that God's people are always waiting, all him. And here we are a year past May 21, and we're still here. But obviously, you know, God has not given us all the information. But I believe in time that God will lead us more in and when he's ready, he'll let us know from the Bible where we're at. But with that said, let's turn our Bibles to Psalm 42, verse 1. Psalm 42, verse 1, here we read, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is my God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. Thee calleth unto thee at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet Jehovah will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I will yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. So it's no need for God's people to be cast down. We shouldn't be that way. God is in control. He's on the throne. And we simply wait upon God to bring about his promises and his commitment to his people. The desire of God's people is to be with him. And we just simply wait. God is on the throne. And we wait patiently for him, because he will. He will do what he says to his people. If you will turn over to Psalm 119, we'll start reading at verse 49. Psalm 119, verse 49, here God tells us, "Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope." And you know, the essence of hope is Christ. We hope in God. There is no other hope that the true believer has but Christ himself. And verse 50, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet I have not declined from thy law. I remember thy judgments of old, O Jehovah, and have comforted myself. Horror has taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Jehovah, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts." So our comfort and our hope, and it says in verse 50, "This is my comfort and my affliction." In my affliction, which we, our comfort is God's word. That's the only place we go for comfort. The wicked of the world, they find their joys and comfort in the things of this life. But the true believer, God's word is his comfort. That rejoices his heart. It's a joy and rejoicing of their heart. So when we feel cast down or we think that God has forgotten us, no, he hasn't. We go to God's word. And we feast upon the word of God, and we meditate upon the word of God, because that's our hope. God's word is absolutely true. It's absolute truth. So when God says something to his true believers that one day we will be with him forevermore, he means exactly that. But in the meantime, we simply wait upon the Lord to bring about and to fulfill all his word. Because how long do we live in this life? 10, 20, 30, 70 years, maybe 80. And there are a few exceptions of people living to be 100. And that's it. That's it. But with the true believers, God's people, we don't look at the present. We put our eyes on things to come. Eternity to be with Christ forever. But in this interim, we wait patiently upon God. Because all we waiting upon God is simply trust him. He will bring it to pass. He will bring all his promises to fruition on that last day of judgment day, when all his people will be with him for all eternity. All the things and the problems and disappointments of this life, the heartache and the grief will be forgotten. We will remember these things no more forevermore. And how wonderful that is. That's the hope. And we take comfort in that because Christ has said it. And he will do what he says. Will he not do what he says? Yes, he absolutely will. If you go over to Numbers, the book of Numbers, I believe it's verse 23. The book of Numbers, chapter 23, I believe. The book of Numbers, yes. Chapter 23, verse 19. Numbers, chapter 23, verse 19. Here God says to us, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" Oh, those are beautiful verses. God is not lying to us when he says he will do what he says. He has made many wonderful and precious promises to his people. And he will do what he says. So if you are cast down this day, loved one, there's no need to be. There's no need to be cast down in our heart or to be discouraged or thinking that God has abandoned any one of us. God's eyes are over his people. He's with us. If someone is truly saved, God, Holy Spirit indwells that person. And he tells us in many places in the Bible that we were chosen in him from the foundation of the world. He chose us individually. He calls us by our name. How can he forget us? How can he forget his people? You see, but we have need of patience. that we wait upon Jehovah. He will bring about what he says. He will do it. So we patiently wait upon God, and he will do what he says. Let's turn over to Romans. Romans chapter 15, verse 4 to 6. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written afore were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. That's where we go for comfort. We go to God's Word for our comfort in the Scriptures. He said, as we may have hope. Now the God, in verse 5, now the God of patience. See, patience. God is a God of patience. And, you know, no matter, we think that the fruit of the Spirit, one of the fruit of the Spirit there, God tells us, is long-suffering, patience. And God has given us the fruit of the Spirit. Patience is one of them. And God is a patient God. He waits. He waits. He's patient. And we also should wait upon Jehovah, because his word is faithful and true. And verse 4, 5 says in Romans 15, now the God of patience and consolation, consolation is comfort, grants you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may be with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see? God is the God of patience and he's the God of comfort. We go to the Word of God for our comfort and strength. And we look to him to strengthen our heart. Remember in Psalm 27, just turn over to Psalm 27. God tells us there to wait upon him. Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait on Jehovah. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen thine heart. God does it. God strengthens our heart through the word of God. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on Jehovah. We wait on Jehovah. We could never go wrong waiting upon God. And God's people will. They will wait upon God to act, to bring about his promises to fruition, the thing that he has promised to us, because we have eternity to spend with him. Eternity, as I said earlier, we're strangers and pilgrims in the earth. We're just a passing through this life. And before you know it, either the Lord comes or he takes us in death. And the true believers has eternity to look forward. What does the unbelievers have? They're going to be destroyed. This is all they're going to get. They're miserable. They think they're happy because things are going fine for them, or they have no problems or troubles in this life. But how long it lasts? It's only for a moment. It's only for a moment. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians. Let's turn over to the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. There we read, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. He is the God of all comfort. He comforts us through the Word of God. And verse 4 says, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You see how God comforts us in the Bible? We read God's word and we know the Bible is true. And the true believers, we just delight in that because we know that the Bible is true. And God will bring about what he says to his people. Let's turn over to chapter 7 of 2 Corinthians. Chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 1 of 2 Corinthians. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said before that ye are in our hearts to die and live with you. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorifying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. So you see who comforts us in verse 6. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down. And God's people may feel cast down, but we go to the Bible. God comforted us from the Word of God. And verse 7, and not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he also was comforted in you when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. And you know, as God's people fellowship together around the Bible, whether you're at home or you're talking to a friend who's going through a difficult situation in their life, and you begin to talk about the Word of God to that person, they take great comfort in God's Word. And we tend to forget what we're going through when you begin to speak about the Word of God. If two of God's people are speaking about the Word of God who's going through a difficult situation, we tend to forget the little momentary affliction or problems we're going through in this life because we're comforting each other by going to the Word of God. As we talk about it, as we think about God's Word among ourselves or in a group, we're comforting each other, we're edifying each other through the Word of God. You see, and how wonderful God's Word is. And look at verse 13 of 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 13. Therefore we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. So you see, as we gather around the Word of God, and as we talk about the Word of God, we're comforted. God is comforting us through the Bible. And there is no book like the Bible. You can't speak enough about the Word of God. There is no book that holds a candle to the Word of God. Because God's Word is the delight of the heart of God's people. That's where we find our comfort, our encouragement, our joy. And there's not enough words to really describe this, because God's word is our hope. Let's go over to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Here God is speaking about. You read through the entire chapter, you see God speaking about parts. J speaking about the second coming. And at the end of verse 18, God says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Oh, God's return will happen. That last day will come. And we not ought to lose sight of that. God will come again on that last day, and he will complete the salvation of his elect. It's guaranteed. God guarantees that. But until then, we wait upon God. We take comfort through the Word of God. We talk about it as God instructs us in Deuteronomy 6. We talk about the Word of God because that now, that new heart that God has given to us, desires that because God is in us. And we desire the Word of God. And we can't stop talking about it. Let's go over to chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 9. Next chapter, God in chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians, verse 9. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. You see, God is instructing us here that we should edify one another. That's God's word is our comfort. That's where we go for encouragement, is to the Word of God. And turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. There we read, but we are bound to give thanks always. The we there are God's people. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the tradition which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and has given us an everlasting consolation, comfort, and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts, establish you in every good word and work. See, God comforts us. He gives us that everlasting comfort through the Word of God. You see, and how beautiful that is. You know, where else would the child of God go but to the Word of God? Because the Bible came from the very mouth of God. We encourage ourselves in the Word of God. And look again, God tells us in the Bible to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Who's our eyes steadfast on? Each other? No. It's on Christ. That's where we put our eyes at. We're steadfast on him. Because we know that we're only in this world for a moment in time. That's it. That we're only in this life a very, very short time. And we don't know how long God has given each one of us to live. He doesn't tell us that. Today could be the last day for any one of us. Or next week or next year. But God's people will continue to serve him each day, day by day, by God giving him strength to do so. Let's go back over to Psalms, the Old Testament, Psalm 77. It's just a beautiful, beautiful psalm. I believe God has written the Psalms this way for God's people, just to go in any part of the Bible we can go and just read, because it's God that is speaking to us. But the Psalms are so beautiful. Psalm 77, verse 1. Psalm 77, verse 1. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not, my soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou beholdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? Here God is going to ask us a series of questions. Will he cast us off forever? No, he can't do that, because we are his children. And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. You know, God has not forgotten these things. He can't forget. It's impossible for God to forget. God tells us he will never leave us nor forsake us. Never. He can't forget a people whom he foreknew. It's impossible. We are his children forevermore. Forever. Let's read on in verse 11. I will remember the works of Jehovah. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also for thy of thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders, and hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. See, God is the one who has redeemed us. How will he not fulfill his promises to his people? He will do what he says he will do. And oh, and how wonderful and gracious our Lord is. And oh, we can't begin to thank God for such a wonderful God who he is. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. I'm going to read down to to the end of the chapter. Hebrews chapter 6. Verse 10. There we read. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. Oh, we should never draw back. We continue to serve our Lord and to wait patiently for him and to take comfort in God's word. And verse 12, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. See, that word patience, you know, as you look through the Bible, God used the patience of his people, waiting upon him to do what he says he will do. Because it's absolutely guaranteed that God will do what he says. And he goes on in verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself. God swearing by himself that he will do what he says he will do. And there is no higher one than God. God is true. God is faithful. God is almighty. It's impossible, God tells us, for God to lie, as we're going to read on, as we read in Numbers 23. And God goes on to tell us in verse 14, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise. The heirs of promise for whom? God's people. The immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. You know, God could only say things once. But see how God is assuring us that what he says, he will do it? He will do what he says. He's swearing by himself that he will do it. God is unchangeable. He will do what he says. In verse 18, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. And you know, hope set before us, Christ. Christ is our hope. You know, he's hope. He's the essence of what hope is. In verse 19, which hope we have an anchor of the soul. And the anchor of the soul is Christ, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that which is in the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made it high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And how wonderful that is. See, God has given us so many assurances in the Bible that what he says, he will do it. So there's no need for God's people to be cast down. Yes, we're human. It will happen. But if that does happen to us, we go to the rock, which is Christ. And many, many of God's people are going through difficult situations. They're in difficult circumstances and so on and so on. But we should always go to Christ when we could enter into the closet of our minds and pour it out all before God, because God, he knows and he understands. And we simply wait upon God. There's no need to get impatient or, you know, all these things. No, because remember, God promises us in Romans chapter 8 that nothing will separate us from the love of God. And one of the first things he lists is death. The enemy of man will not separate us from the love of God. And God goes on to assure his people, give us these great assurances that he's with us. He will be our guide even unto death. He directs our path. He's all these wonderful things he tells us. So in the meantime, this moment in which we're living in this life, we wait. We wait upon the Lord Jesus to bring about what he says he will do. And he will do what he says he will do. Let's turn to Isaiah. Turn over to the Old Testament, to Isaiah chapter 49. Isaiah chapter 49. Start reading at verse 13. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 13 to 16. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for Jehovah hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion saith, Jehovah hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Oh, what a wonderful verse. That God says that he will not forget us. It's impossible to do so. He cannot forget his people. You know, let us look at Psalm 37. Turn over to Psalm 37, and that's the whole chapter. Start reading verse 1, Psalm 37. Here God is encouraging us through the word of God. He says here in Psalm 37, verse 1, spread not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as a green herb. Trust in Jehovah, and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. And you know the land there is a new heaven and a new earth. It's not this earth. This earth will be destroyed on the last day. But here God is saying, trust in Jehovah. And the only way we trust in Jehovah is that God has given his people the faith to trust, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And goes on in verse 4. Delight thyself also in Jehovah. And we delight ourselves in God through the Bible. Through the Bible. And he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And the desires of the heart of God's people is to be with him. To be with him. To do what he has commanded us to do. That's what we want. And in verse 5 says, commit thy way unto Jehovah. Trust also in him. And he shall bring it to pass. God will bring it to pass. No one can frustrate the will of God. No one. God will bring about his promises to pass, his commitments he has given to his people. God will do it. There's no need to be, you know, to be troubled about anything. There's no need for that because God is on the throne. And it goes on in verse 6, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in Jehovah, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. You see, don't be troubled, don't be worried about anything. The true believer should just relax. Rest in the Lord. You know, he is in control of all things. God is on the throne. So we don't worry about these things at all. And let's read on verse 9. That's verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon Jehovah, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while. See how God talks about it? A little while. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The abundance of peace God's people will enjoy. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. And oh, it's a laugh. It's not a laugh of mercy or gladness. It's a laugh that the wicked will be destroyed forevermore. And look at verse 18. Verse 18 of the same chapter, Psalm 37. Jehovah knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. Forever. In verse 19, they shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of Jehovah shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke. They shall consume away. Verse 21, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they shall be cursed of him shall be cut off. You see the contrast between the righteous and the wicked? The wicked will be cut off. This is a short moment there in this life. But you see, the righteous shall inherit the earth, the new heavens and the new earth. In verse 20, let's go down to verse 27. depart from evil, of Psalm 37, depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For Jehovah loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. Isn't that wonderful? And forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever. Forevermore. God's people are preserved forever. You see, how wonderful that is. And we take comfort in these things when we read these things, and we rejoice in them. You know, God's people will. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. They will be cut off. They're going to be destroyed on that day. In verse 29, the righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. And let's read verse 34. Verse 34, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee. See who's doing the exalting? God will. God is doing the exalting. Verse 34, wait on Jehovah and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. See the end of the wicked? God's going to cut them off. They have nothing going for them. Nothing whatsoever. Seemingly, they think everything is going their way. They have their monies, their health, and all as well. But is it? No. But you see, the true believer, they're always in trouble. Things are going, they're being tested. Trials and tribulations and disappointments and all these things goes on in his life. But look again, my dear one, to Christ. He's our strength, you see. All things work together for good that those who love God, all things. And in verse 39 and 40, but the salvation of the righteous is of Jehovah. He is their strength in the time of trouble. See where we get our strength from? It's from God. He's our strength. We don't have any strength in ourselves. We have no strength whatsoever, just like we know nothing. Except for the mercy of God, we get our strength from Christ. When we're weak, he's strong. We go to God when whatever situation that we're in and we feel cast down. Oh, Lord, we could pour it all out before Christ. He understands. He understands the situation far better than we do. Far better. And in verse 40, God tells us, and Jehovah shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. God's people trust in God and trust in him. You see where our trust is? Our trust is in God. Let's keep on going. Look at Hebrews. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 13, I believe. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Yes, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Here God tells us, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, Christ said it, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. See, God will never leave us or forsake us. It's impossible. God cannot leave us or forsake us. His people whom he foreknew. We are sons of God. The Bible tells us. He owns us. He bought us. This language the Bible uses. We're his. God just pours it on us. He pours it on. We are his sons. We're going to reign. We're heirs and joint heirs with Christ. How could that be that God, that sinful man, can be joint heirs with Christ
and that we will reign with him through all our eternity. How can that be? It's not because of me, because of you, because you're so wonderful and holy. No. He's done it for Christ's sake. And he tells us we're going to be glorified together throughout all eternity. Oh, God, I tell you, it wasn't in the Bible. We just couldn't believe it. But it is true. It is true. Look at Psalm 31. Let's turn back over to Psalm 31. Verses 23 and 24. Psalm 31, verses 23 and 24. O love Jehovah, all ye his saints, for Jehovah preserveth the faithful. And we're not faithful, but God is. You know, he's made us faithful, and plentifully rewardeth the proud door. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in Jehovah. See where our hope is and where we get our strength from? He says, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in Jehovah. All this doing here is God. He strengthens our heart, and we look to him for all things. Let's go over to another chapter in Psalm 121. It's a very familiar psalm. Very familiar psalm to most of us, but let's read it. Let's read it. It only have 8 verses. Psalm 121, verse 1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh our help. My help cometh from Jehovah, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Jehovah is thy keeper. Jehovah is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. Jehovah shall preserve thee. See who doing the preserving? God is. Preserve thee from evil. He shall preserve thy soul. Jehovah shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. You see, as you read the Psalms, you see God tells us that he's our shield. He's our hiding place. We're preserved in him. All these languages God points to tell us that how safe we are in Christ. Nothing will snatch us from his hand. And how wonderful that those verses are. But, you know, we're always, as I said earlier, that God's people, he always having us to wait upon him. To wait upon, you know, when the Lord comes, it won't be a moment too late or too soon. That day has already been appointed by God. And God's people will continue to search the Bible. We will search and pray for wisdom and pray for wisdom. And God in his time will open the hearts of his people. He has taught us many things already. Oh, so much truth he has taught us from the Word of God. And we glorify him and thank him for these things. But where he always have us to wait, he's always having us to learn patience. 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 And we continue to wait upon the Lord for him to act. Look at, turn over to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, isn't he? God is faithful. His name is faithful. One of his name is faithful. He's faithful and true. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. See, God always have his people waiting upon him, and God's people will wait upon him. We will wait. As God says, God, now he will direct our hearts into the patient waiting for Christ. And one last verse. Let's turn to the book of James. James chapter 5, it says here. James chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. James chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman, which is Christ, God is waiting also. The husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. And verse 8, be ye also patient. God is patient. We also should be patient, waiting upon him. Verse 8, be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And how wonderful that is, that God's people will wait for him. And I said one last verse, but look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, read about the fruit of the Spirit there. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, here God tells us, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Long-suffering is patience. And God is, all of God's people has the fruit of the Spirit. One of them is long-suffering, patience. And it goes on, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against these, there is no law. See, God has given to us long-suffering, patience. Patience. We wait upon Jehovah. And God will do what he says he will do. So with these, I was just trying to encourage us, to comfort our hearts, to continue to wait upon the Lord. We can never go wrong waiting upon God to do what he says he will do, because he will do what he has promised to his people. We're only in this life, but for a moment. But for a moment. And remember the promise in Romans 8 that God says nothing will separate us from him. So if one of God's people will die today, what happens to them? In their soul existence, they go home to be with Christ, which is far better. So it's a win-win situation for the child of God. Although some of us are in difficult circumstances and are going through difficult circumstances, but God is with us. And when we don't know what to do or where to go, we can go to Christ and pour it all out before him. We could come to the throne of grace and tell him all about it. Okay, with that, let's close and let's pray, please. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for thy mercy. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us thy word, the Bible, that, oh, Lord, thy word is truth. The Bible is the word of God. It's absolute truth. And thy people will go to thy word and just sit at the feet of Christ, feeding on the word of God, even if we don't understand what we're reading. We know the Bible is the word of God. And we ask thee, O Lord, that you'll that you will strengthen us each day and have us to walk humbly before thee, to walk in humility. And, O Lord, we thank you that you will direct the path of thy people, and you will return on that day which is appointed by thee. Until then, O Lord, we pray that you will help us, strengthen us, give us wisdom of thy word, open our understanding, O Lord, to thy word. Teach us, O Lord, truth from thy word, because this is the only book that is truth, which is the Bible. We pray for each one of us who are here this day and those who might be listening, Pal Talk and over the phone. We pray, O Lord, that thy name was glorified and will be glorified in all that we say this day. We thank you for thy mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.